This is a reading of chapters 4 and 5 of the booklet, Peace Within Reach. My name is Fred Wildenberg, and I am the author. Chapter 4, Really Strong. It was earlier described how God knows you personally. He uniquely designed you as a person made in His image. Next, sin was discussed, but then how God specially expressed His love as Jesus, by the will of God, received the punishment for our sins. Jesus' death on the cross offers us the opportunity to receive forgiveness for our sins and to be with God in heaven when we die. There is more. As Jesus saw that His time on earth was coming to an end, He promised His followers that He would send to them the Holy Spirit of God. In John 16, verse 5 to 7 of the Bible, Jesus said, "Now I am going to Him who sent me. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Verse 13 reads, "When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." God never leaves you and me alone to somehow get through life on our own. He never says, "I'll see you later. Good luck on your way through life." No. All along the way, God is with us. He encourages us with the truth of His love and grace when we are down. He gives us the courage and wisdom to be all that He made us to be. And He pricks our consciences and brings us back on the right path when we fail. This is all done through the Holy Spirit. God is constantly there with you, in your home, in your car, in your room, at work, in your cell, through the Holy Spirit. He is there wanting to communicate with you through prayer. Maybe you are thinking, "But I don't know how to pray." In Romans 8, verse 26 to 27 of the Bible, it reads, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, God, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying." Listen more about how to pray in chapter 8's 9 commonly asked questions, which is part of another reading. God is completely on your side, working out the best for you and those around you, even when you don't know what to do or how to do it. He can read your deep inner struggles and concerns, and the fact that you sincerely want help, and He helps you. Prayer is just telling it to God. God the Holy Spirit works through our prayers, but He also works through us. Do you ever ask yourself big questions like, "Why am I here? What am I supposed to do in life?" Over time, God will reveal answers to these questions. Often it goes along with your natural talents and abilities. In 1 Corinthians 12 of the Bible, it's written, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, He gives the power to heal the sick." Several more spiritual gifts are mentioned, and it is the Holy Spirit of God who gives these gifts. He decides which gift each person should have. When you begin to know God personally and to have a relationship with God, He begins to turn your talents and abilities into gifts. Gifts that benefit those around you and honor God. Here are some people who opened their lives to God. They were Holy Spirit strong. Betsy and Corrie ten Boom were sisters who were prisoners in a concentration camp during the World War II. Corrie wrote about their concentration camp experiences and about her sister Betsy's unshakable faith in God. The conditions in the women's concentration camp at Ravensbrück were terrible. During the war, over 132,000 women went through the camp. An estimated 92,000 of them died there, many in the gas chambers or from starvation. Corey wrote about their barracks. "Fleas, Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Here and here another. Betsy, how can we live in such a place?" Meanwhile, Betsy prayed, show us how." She then responded, "That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. Thank you," Betsy went on serenely, "for the fleas and for..." Days later, Betsy said to Corey, "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room for holding Bible studies with the other prisoners. Well, I found out. The guards wouldn't step through the door. And you know why?" With triumph in her voice, "Because of the fleas. The place is crawling with fleas." Corey wrote, "My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place. I remembered Betsy's bowed head, remembered her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for." Betsy, who was very sick during her time at the camp, later died there in great peace, despite the awful physical surroundings. In the 1950s, Jim Elliot was killed along with some others by native peoples in the jungles of Ecuador as they sought to become friends with the native people and to spread the good news of God's love to those who had never heard of it. Jim Elliot once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, his life, to gain what he cannot lose, heaven." Mother Teresa, a famous Catholic nun who won the Nobel Peace Prize for her care of those living in poverty, said the following, "I see God in every human being. When I wash the leper's wounds, I feel I am nursing the Lord himself. Is it not a beautiful experience?" Mother Teresa's daily prayer was, "Dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with thy spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of thine. Shine through me and be so in that every soul I come in contact with may feel thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see me, see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others." End of quote. The Apostle Paul, who wrote several of the New Testament letters in the Bible, and who was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, put in prison, and finally executed, wrote, "For to me, to live is Christ Jesus, and to die is gain." From Philippians 1:21 of the Bible. In other words, no matter what, I am okay because I belong to God. Each of us can be Holy Spirit strong too, by personally entering a relationship with God. The simple and profound process of entering a personal relationship with God is explained in chapter 7's Putting It All Together, which is part of the next reading. Here are just a few thought or discussion questions. Question number one. This book states that God is constantly there, seeing and knowing everything that you think, say, and do. How does that make you feel? Question number two. What abilities do you have that could be spiritual gifts, which could benefit others and honor God? And question number three, which of the Holy Spirit strong people who are described toward the end of this chapter especially inspire you and why? Chapter 5, what costs are involved? Anything that has value, especially the kind of value that God's grace offers, must have some personal costs, some strings attached, right? Not in this case. God's grace and all of its benefits, such as God's love, forgiveness, assurance of eternal life in heaven, and a life with purpose and meaning are all free, at least for us, Jesus paid the cost. As described earlier, forgiveness of sins costs a huge amount. It costs punishment, a punishment that only God and Jesus could handle. And in love, Jesus took the punishment through his death on the cross. The only thing that we need to do is personally receive his gift of grace. Still, costs involved is a good question. As Romans 10 verse 9 of the Bible states, the only thing that a person needs to do to receive these gifts is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. Saved from the control of sin and many of its devastating consequences, including ultimately eternal death apart from God. Saved from a life that leaves us feeling empty. But with that, it is important to understand that as good as Jesus is my Savior sounds, it does not have any meaning unless a person also can say, Jesus is my Lord, as stated in the above verse. Entering a personal relationship with God is a two-way relationship. For all that God gives to a person who receives him, he calls for that person to live a life that is committed and honoring to him, and a life which expresses thanks to God for all that he gives. God, who is holy, asks us to put aside sin in our lives. Usually these sins have been tripping us up and making life more difficult, or making us feel guilty, or hurting other people around us. God, who has given each person special abilities, expects us to use those abilities and spiritual gifts. In doing this, our lives start to make a positive difference for ourselves and for others and for the world. Some people seem to think that a personal relationship with God may cost them their culture or their family or their friends. It's understandable to think that, since some religions and cults seem to require this. However, God does not ask a person to give up her culture or her family or her friends. Rather, God has given us different cultures and God encourages cultural expression. As Native American author and pastor Richard Twist writes, cultures are to be instruments through which Jesus reveals himself to the nations. God doesn't ask you to leave your family to come to him. Rather, God is the origin of family. As you are committed to God, he will make you a more loving child, a better parent, a better brother or sister. For example, a person who comes into a personal relationship with God is to pray often to God, to communicate with God. If you have a troubled relationship with your family, and if you come to personally trust in God, not only are you encouraged by God to be reconciled to your family members, but you are to pray continually for your family and for your relationship with your family. Sometimes, before a person comes into a personal relationship with God, she has friends with whom she does things that dishonor God. Let me repeat that. Sometimes, before a person comes into a personal relationship with God, she has friends with whom she does things that dishonor God. But with a newly discovered relationship with her God, she would begin to do things that bring honor to God. For example, just as it would be unwise for a recovering alcoholic to go to a bar to be with his drinking friends, so a person who is in a relationship with God would not continue to knowingly do things on his own and with his friends which dishonor God. He can still care about his friends, though, seeking to do healthy things with them and praying for them. As he prays, he can be assured that God also cares about his friends and God wants the best for them. Is it worth it? Ask my friend Kathy. Kathy experienced much grief in her life. Her dad died when she was 6 and her mom died when Kathy was 15. Her only sibling was her older brother who was 2 years older than Kathy. He was murdered as a young man. Kathy used drugs already as a teenager to numb her many hurts in life. The use of drugs soon turned to an addiction that lasted for years. She married Lon, who also was addicted to drugs. They sold drugs for drug bosses to support their addictions, and because it was exciting to make quick money and to hang with the bad boys. Over time, the excitement turned to depression as the addiction controlled her life and as their marriage was falling apart. As well, the excitement turned to paranoia as some of the people they hung out with, were getting busted by the police, and others were overdosing. Meanwhile, a friend who knew God and who knew of Kathy's troubles persistently told Kathy that God had much better for her life and that she needed to go to treatment. Kathy finally went reluctantly to treatment, and as she often quotes from Psalm 34, verse 8 of the Bible, she started to taste and see that the Lord is good. After 6 months of anger at his cleaned-up wife, Lon also personally received the Lord. Now, years later, Kathy says that she continues to surrender more parts of her life to God. More things work out. What has trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord cost Kathy and Lon? Drug highs and lows. It cost them the opportunity to make some fast money, but now as they receive lower incomes from honest jobs in comparison to dealing drugs, they've been able to move into a newly built home. It has cost them the short-lived excitement and prestige of drug use and dealing, and of being in an outlaw motorcycle group, which now looks like hell. What would God's grace cost you? Based on your answer to that question, perhaps the question could be rephrased, how would God's grace benefit you? Here's just a few thought or discussion questions for you to consider. Question number one, what holds you back from personally receiving God into your life as your Savior and as your guide? And why? Based on who you are, your abilities, your life experiences, your culture, your resources, who do you think God desires you to be as you head into the future? And question number three, how would or how does God's grace benefit you? Please communicate questions, comments, or prayer needs, and you can do that publicly or privately at www.peacewithinreach.com. And you can also visit my blog site at peacewithinreach.com.